Hello, good afternoon, excuse me, and welcome to 3Tune Tuesday for Tuesday, September the 20th. I hope everyone's having a great Tuesday. As always, thank you for coming by to spend some of your lunchtime with me. Welcome again as we continue through the last full week of summer. Autumn is right around the bend, officially beginning on the 23rd. Personally, I am very, very much looking forward to it. Autumn's one of my favorite times of year. Looking forward to all of the autumn, Halloween, and Christmas-themed craft shows coming up. I like to definitely go out and engage with all of those. See what's out there. Flea markets along with them. I always like to find goodies coming up for Christmas. And the occasional goodie for myself, I must admit. Just today, received a rather substantial sized box of new 78 RPM records. Some old ones back into the 19-teens. It looks like some newer ones up through the 40s and 50s. I'm definitely looking forward to sorting through those, organizing them, getting them put into the proper spots, cleaned, and before too long, getting them ready to be played and shared. Excuse me, I've got something in my throat today. So as we enter this last week of summer, hoping everyone had a good summer, the best you can all make it. And I'm definitely curious to hear about what people's plans for the upcoming autumn and fall is. Anything fun going on? For me, as a person who really enjoys photography quite a lot, it's a great time for me. It's much better than summer for taking pictures with all the foliage that begins to turn colors. To me, I like the clothing of autumn much more than I like the clothing of summer. I think that seeing people begin to bundle up with hats and, you know, jackets and, you know, warmer clothes make it much more photogenic. And the leaves, of course, are just beautiful this time of year. Not only do they look good, I love hearing them crunch beneath my feet as I walk around. It really does bring me back to childhood, you know, and witnessing the magic and wonder that is the world for the first time, and now reminding myself what that used to be like. So we're going to kick off with some music pretty much right away today. I was looking through a number of my albums and records. I had a couple of ideas in place for today, but as I was flipping through the records, I, like usual, began to change my mind and wanted this or that, or didn't want this in place of that. And what we're going to start off with today is one particular song that combines a couple of my favorite things. First of all, it's a foxtrot. I love foxtrots. They are arguably my favorite 78 RPM music genre. I think they're really fun to get up and bounce around to. This one also happens to be by a saxophone sextet. Saxophones really were beginning to come into the mainstream in the, I want to say late 1890s, but more the early 1900s. They were originally primarily a vaudeville instrument, and a vaudeville group by the name of Six Brown Brothers began to bring them into the mainstream, and we see that continuing with the Columbia Saxophone Sextet, which is the group that put this next song together. So this is a song called Frog's Legs. It was imprinted on the Columbia Blue label in 1920. I'm sorry. And that was the Columbia Saxophone Sextet with their rendition of Frog's Legs. Great song, funny name, beautiful sound to it. So last week I had the good fortune, I guess you could say, or bad fortune, of being on a business trip on the other side of the country. I am located in Delaware. And last week I was sent out to Seattle, Washington for a week to do some business out there. It was fun for me. I certainly enjoyed it. Unfortunately, last week I was also out of pocket, so ended up recording the show for last week. And this week I am back live, as you can probably tell as I stumble through my words. I'm happily back to be back live. It's a much more enjoyable way for me to do the show. So in addition to business last week, whenever I do travel, I try my very best to get up, get out, do things, see things that I haven't seen before. The first thing I did, in fact, after renting the car, was to find a tour of the underground of Seattle. I had been told about this beforehand, that it would be an interesting thing to look at, and certainly the tour was pretty amazing. Back around the turn of the century, the late 1800s, the business district of Seattle burnt to the ground. There is a large story behind that as to how it happened, how it continued. It did involve alcohol exploding at one point. And people, instead of helping the volunteer fire department, ran to rescue the rest of the alcohol. But the short story is that Seattle did burn to the ground, the business district did, and in good, true American entrepreneurial spirit, they decided that they had to rebuild. And during the rebuilding process, they decided at the same time that they needed to make some improvements to how the city was built. Initially, Seattle was built on very low ground, to the point that when the high tide came in, a lot of the city, more than they would want, would be underwater, at least a little bit. And while as much as a nuisance as this might be in the first place, once they began to get running plumbing it became to be more of an issue when the tide came in and washed all the plumbing and sewage back up the pipes. So as they were rebuilding, they decided that they would not only rebuild, but they would rebuild vertically. So they, of course, started on the main ground, knowing that they would also at some point fill the ground in and move everything about 20 feet up. So the buildings that were rebuilt had a very generic, boring, bland ground level entrance. But on the second floor, the entrances were very well decorated. The architecture was extravagant and it looked nice, knowing that in the near future, that would become the main floor. Now, there's more and more and more to be said about it. Wikipedia can do a much better job of explaining the ins and outs of it than I certainly can. You know, but I was able to go on a tour of some of the leftover rooms that are beneath the current buildings that are now underground, but were initially above ground. And it's really, really quite fascinating. Many of the buildings are still there, many of the rooms are still there, and many of the windows that would have looked out onto the streets are still there. It was really quite neat to look at. In the early 20th century, about 1903, the underground as a whole was condemned by the city for fear of bubonic plague. At that point, it was really boarded up and forgotten until the 40s when homeless began to get there, and then the 60s and 70s when people began to venture back down into it to remind themselves what was there at one point in time and to remind themselves of the history of the city. Really, really, really fascinating. Later in the week, last week, during my business trip, we were lucky enough to be able to finish our last business day a few hours early. So we took advantage of that as well to venture out into the countryside to see what was there. We had an Airbnb in a small town called Snoqualmie. It's shortly outside of Seattle. And Snoqualmie has a very wonderful landmark and feature of a waterfall, Snoqualmie Falls. We went to visit that, and it really, really was an amazing, amazing sight. I had a couple of film cameras with me. I took some pictures of it. Those should be developed by today. I will have those up on the Blind Skeleton website for anyone to enjoy later today, probably tonight. But Snoqualmie Falls was just beautiful. I love waterfalls. Whenever I go down to North Carolina, I go waterfalling. I hike for them, I look for them. It's a great way to commune with nature and really, really bring a sense of self back to yourself. At the falls, we decided that we would go for a bit of a hike as well. You know, the falls, of course, have an upper river. The water falls, it goes into a lower river. There's a power generation plant there. The water goes through there, it goes down into a lower river yet again. And we decided that we would walk around and look to see what was there. And we did get down to the bottom, and it was really, really nice. I liked it. Sadly, there were no bears. More sadly, there was no Sasquatch or Bigfoot. But there was a river, a lot of rocks, and it was really beautiful to see. Once again, I will have those pictures up on the Blind Skeleton website tonight. Now, as beautiful as it was, we were on a mountainside. And walking down the mountainside to get to the lower part of the river was enjoyable. Walking up was a little more strenuous. It was back up a mountainside, and it was a little more difficult than just going out for a stroll. Ultimately, of course, we did make it back. It was still fun. Still enjoyable, and it really did make the beer afterwards when we found in a local brewery even all the more tasty. But I took this particular experience as some inspiration for a song this week. I do like to choose songs based on a lot of experiences that I've had in the last week or might have coming up. Today's no exception. This next song we have was recorded on the Victor Black label in 1920. It was recorded by Campbell and Burr, and it is named I Am Climbing Mountains. Thankfully for me, the mountain wasn't quite too high. I was able to get back to the top. And once we got to the top, we actually even went for a further walk around the spa and the hotel that was there. It was enjoyable. Made the air conditioning in the car even more enjoyable yet. So Seattle is in Washington State. I live near, I suppose, a couple of hours away from Washington, D.C., It was kind of interesting to see Washington State license plates all over the place, as opposed to Washington, D.C. Really interesting place. The Seattle-Tacoma Airport, SeaTac as it's called, was difficult. I have never before had so many problems in an airport than I had at Seattle. Getting there wasn't a problem. Debark. There's a long walk to the baggage claim, which is where the shuttle to the rental cars was. The rental car shuttle itself took a little bit of time, but that's neither here nor there. That's certainly handleable. And I was able to get out perfectly fine. The trip back, however, from Seattle to Philadelphia was fraught with issues. First of all, I suppose I'm not going to really rant. There was a discrepancy between my plane ticket and driver's license. Was able to get that fixed. The line through security was long. Not an issue. That's why I get there early. just in case these things happen. But this was the first time that I had ever had an issue at the x-ray. They had flagged two of my cameras and some of my toiletries in my duffel bag as needing visual inspection. And so I, off to the side I went, you know, I let them look through the stuff. I've got nothing to hide, so there's no problem there. And they sent my film cameras, you know, cameras and film, back through the x-ray machine. I was a little concerned about that. I certainly didn't want them to open the cameras because the film had not yet been completely rewound. But I wasn't too happy about it going through the x-ray again. But thankfully, it was 400 ISO film and it shouldn't have an issue with the x-rays. They did abscond with a couple of my toiletry items. Apparently, the items were too large and they were not allowed on the plane. So, well, once again, no problem. What can you do? I was a little confused as to how I could have gotten through Philadelphia in the first place with the exact same items, but mine is not to question. Mine is just to get on the plane and come home. So ultimately, I got home. It was a 5.5 hour flight. I rewatched Good Omens. It was nice. It was fun. Got home. Another cold beer waiting for me at home. And yesterday, I learned that the day after I had gone through SeaTac, the lineup got even worse and became a 2.5 hour line just to get through security. Lucky people. Lucky me for not having gotten quite that far. I think I was an hour and a half. My vice president, who has a clear pass and was flying first class and all that, was taunting me the entire time about whether he should send out a search party for me, maybe bring me food, water, make sure I'm doing okay. Thanks. So, the last song we have for you this week is another song inspired by last week. This is on the Victor Black label, also from 1920. All three of my songs this week are from 1920. This is by the All-Star Trio. It's one of my favorite groups from the era, and also one of my favorite genres. This is also a foxtrot called Rose of Washington Square. Thank you. And that was Rose of Washington Square by the All-Star Trio from 1920. So thank you for spending your lunchtime with me today. Thank you for letting me babble at you for the last 30 minutes. I am Victor Sunshine. You are listening to Blind Skeleton 1 Radio. You can find me on blindskeleton.1, on Twitter and at skeleton_1, on Discord as at www.iebe. Thank you again. Coming up next, we have Fred Allen and his show, and to carry us into that, we have the Story Lady doing the Headless Horseman. Everybody have a great afternoon.
Time now for another visit with the Story Lady.
Hello, boys and girls. Today we're going to hear the story I call The Headless Horseman. Once upon a time, long, long ago, in a small village called Sleepy Hollow, there was a legend about a headless horseman who rode by night. Now, there was a happy-go-lucky young man named Ichabod Crane who did not believe in the headless horseman. Then one late October night, Ichabod was coming home alone from a dance at the old barn in Sleepy Hollow. And as he walked and sang to himself, he thought that he heard the sound of distant hoofbeats. The shadows were dark that night, and Ichabod looked, but saw no one. Then echoing in the still blackness of the night, the hoofbeats closer this time. The night seemed darker, the shadows deeper. Ichabod felt the hairs on the back of his neck bristle. He strained to see. Now again came the mysterious hoofbeats. Byron, what is the matter with you?
I'm scared, Story Lady.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, it's only a story.
I can't help it. I'm scared, and I... and the ghost and...
Oh, there, Byron. It's going to be all right. Here, have a balloon, and here's your security blanket.
Thank you, Story Lady. Be listening again next time, boys and girls, when the Story Lady... Wait, Story Lady, don't leave me. I don't want to walk home alone. Wait. Please, wait.